Turn, if you would, with me to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse 16. It's a passage I think that all of us know, but it's always good to go back and look at those Old Testament passages again and New Testament passages that we feel that we know all about. Because there's always something, and maybe you've done this before, a passage that you have read so many times, and then you go back and one day you're just reading that and you say, wait, look at that. I didn't even see that. And so we need to do that. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, it said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. It is given from the mouth of God. It's God-spoken. And it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instructing us in what is right, that we can live right before Him. That's what Paul was trying to say, that the Word of God, what value it had. Now, sometimes today, we forget about the idea of the Old Testament, and we're so used to using the Old Testament that sometimes people misunderstand that when you're talking about the churches of Christ and other religious groups too, because we say we're not under the Old Testament law. Now, many people today, they're just as soon to look at Genesis for a binding law on people today as they are to look at the book of Matthew or Mark or Luke or John or any of the other books of the New Testament. And so what we try to do is to distinguish between the different laws that are there, the different dispensations, because there is that patriarchal dispensation that lasted from the beginning of time until law was given through Moses from God. It was not Moses' law. We say that, but maybe that's a misnomer. We shouldn't say that. It is God's law that God gave to mankind. Moses was the one who delivered it, and so we call it Moses' law, but it was not his law. It was God's law. But aren't we under that law just as binding as we are under the law of Christ, under the New Testament law? And if not, how can we use that Old Testament? If we're just bound by the New Testament and following what it has to say, how can preachers get up and quote from the Old Testament? It seems kind of hypocritical, doesn't it? At least for some people it does. I hope you understand that, but part of what we're going to do tonight is to look at that and see if we can understand that a little bit better. And understand it in such a way as it will help us to maybe explain to other people why we're speaking the way we speak, why we use that Old Testament law and cite some things there to help us to understand the New Testament. It's very important that we realize that. Now, look at this. The Bible must be rightly divided for us to understand it. If it's not rightly divided, we're going to misunderstand it. And that's where a lot of people today misunderstand it. I'm not saying we're any smarter than they are. Please don't get that idea. We're not as smart as they are, maybe, in some things. But in this, we understand that we're not under the old law. We're not under the patriarchal law. But we're under the Christian dispensation, the Christian time. And we need to recognize that and remember that. The Bible is the Bible. As we stated here, the Bible is the Bible. The God of the New Testament is the same God of the Old Testament. The God that gave the law to the people in the Old Testament, that law of Moses, is the same law that we're following today, and we should be following that. The God in Genesis 1 is the same God in Revelation 22 and verse 21. That's true. It is the same God. But we've got to understand who He's talking to, what group of people He's discussing things with, and what law He's trying to help them to understand. You see, the Old Testament, we'll look at this a little bit more later, but it is that tutor that brings us to Christ. It helps us to see Christ in a greater way. I don't know if we could fully understand Jesus Christ coming to this earth unless we saw that prophecy that was started in Genesis 3 coming all the way through the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. I don't know if we could comprehend the beauty of it or the magnitude of it. And so here we have this Old Testament that just says, look at this. And the New Testament says, here it is. And we're able to understand more about it. That old law is the law that was helping us to get to the point to where we could understand the law. God wasn't giving it just for the Jews. He was giving it for us too. That Old Testament law. for us to be able to see how he dealt with people that are there. And it's important that we realize that, and we need to recognize that. We need to help people to understand that we believe in the Old Testament too, because some people think we don't because of us, our teaching as far as the dispensations are concerned. But every point of the law, Moses' law, the patriarchal law, is from God. It is God's. It is inspired of God. That's what 2 Timothy 3 is trying to say there. All Scripture, is that just New Testament Scripture or Old Testament Scripture or patriarchal Scripture? It's all of them. They're inspired of God. They're God-breathed to people at that time. And we have to understand this. And if we don't understand that, we're going to miss some things. Because you see, God tells people how to be saved today. And he tells them in a very simple way. This is what you need to do. You got to hear it. You got to believe it. You got to obey it. That's what you got to do. That principle is an eternal principle all the way through. Now, when we get the Old Testament, there in Genesis 6, how were those people saved there? God told Noah and his family, you're going to be saved. How? By what? By what? By water. In a flood. He said, you're going to be saved, so you go get in a boat. You go get in an ark. Now, what if I go over to that today, and I read there in Genesis 6, what a person needs to do to be saved, and I say, okay, I need to build an ark. So I'm going to have to start building an ark in my backyard. I don't think my neighbors are going to like that. And I think they're going to look at me if I'm foolish, because that's not binding on me today. I don't need to build an ark to be saved. And then we go over in the Old Testament, and we see there in passages like Malachi 6 or Malachi 1 in verse 8, where it talks there about the old law and the sacrifices that are offered. And we go to Deuteronomy, and we see that old law that's there where this sacrifice is to be offered for this thing. Jesus, you know, his mother and father offered the turtle dove because they were probably maybe very poor about that. Sometimes they were to offer a lamb as a sacrifice there. When is the last time you heard of any congregation offering a lamb as a sacrifice? If you brought a lamb to church with you here, I'm telling you, they're going to have you arrested. I don't think it's going to work. I did read one time of a church that had a service where everybody brought their dog with them. Now that must have been an interesting service. Talk about kids crying. What about dogs barking? Two dogs get in a fight in a foyer. What do? Run. But you see, we don't do that today. In fact, we understand what the Bible says about it. We understand what the Hebrew writer was saying in Hebrews 10 verse 4, where it said, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should cleanse us from our sins, should take away sins. But now here you've got the Bible against the Bible. Under the law of Moses, you had to offer that blood sacrifice. And if you did not do that, you were not compliant with that law. But the Hebrew writer, and if you want to know more about this, read Hebrews 8 and 9, and you'll see what he says there about the difference in those laws. And some people can't even see that. Don't lose patience with them, though. Help them to understand what that is. It's hard to hear something different than you've heard before. And it's very difficult. And the first thing is usually to deny it. But what we've got to do is to find out, is it true? Is what they're saying true? We got to understand the law of God. We got to understand what law we're under. We've got to understand the time and the place and the circumstances of that law. We've got to understand, as we've already mentioned, the dispensations of that law. What dispensation was it under? What time frame was it under? And those people in the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, had to offer an offering, a burnt sacrifice. They had to do that. If they didn't do that, their salvation was in question. It's just like today. Our salvation is in question. Our salvation, it's not a question, but it's already answered, but we're still going over it in our head. What if we just don't ever worship God? What if we just don't ever obey the gospel? What if we're never baptized? And somebody said, oh, wait, but you're being short-sighted. No, let's look at what the law says and what law we're under today so that we can comprehend that. It's valuable. It's something that we just got to do. If we don't do it, it's going to be confusing to people. And they're not going to understand that. If we don't understand these things, I'm telling you something, we've missed it all. And it's going to be so confusing. And that's the reason that sometimes with people, it is that way. We've got to understand the Bible according to the time, the place, and the people he's talking to, and the dispensation that he's talking to. What time of in the dispensations is he talking about? We've got to see the difference there and understand the difference in that, or we're going to miss some things. Why can't we use one law? And why can't we cite another law? Can you use one law and cite another law? And it's important that we understand that and that we realize that and understand that in a greater way. And we want to see that in just a minute. Now, secondly, we've got to consider... Did I hit the right button there? Nope, it ain't going to the next one, so forget that. We've got to consider the changing of the law and how the law has changed. It went from the patriarchal to the mosaical, and it was difficult probably for some of those people to understand that. Some of those people didn't understand that God wanted them to follow another law. When it came time for the New Testament law to come in, do you think the Jews said, oh, great, this is wonderful, we've been looking for another law? They said, no, we're going with the old one. And in fact, if you read in the New Testament, many of the books that were written there is encouraging people who have become disenfranchised with New Testament Christianity and were going back to Judaism again. And the writer was saying, don't do that. Don't go back to that again. Don't go back to those old laws. Stay with what God says. So we've got to consider the law that we're under. We've got to think about that. And one thing we want to consider about this law of Christ is that we are under Jesus Christ. Now, we're sitting here and you're saying, okay, I can take a nap. I know that already. Listen, don't discount that. Remember that. Remember that we are bound to Jesus Christ. In John 14, verse 6, John says this. Or Jesus said this, John records it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But now, wait a minute. I believe in the Old Testament, and I want to go by the Old Testament. So I'm going to follow the Old Testament. Well, you're not going to have salvation. You can't. Because Jesus Christ here, the Son of God, said that we have got to be those people that we're following the way of truth and life. And the only way to do that is through him. You can't do it through Moses. Not saying anything bad about Moses, but you can't do it through Moses. You've got to do it through Jesus Christ. We must hear what he has to say. In Matthew 13, verse 17, God was speaking there at the baptism of Jesus. And Jesus coming up out of the water. And Jesus spoke the words there, thundering from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." Now, when God tells you, hear him, you know what we need to do? Hear him. Hard to figure out, isn't it? Hear what he has to say. Follow what he has to say. Well, what about Moses? Okay, Moses' time was there. Moses' time is gone. It's another time. It's another dispensation. It's another generation of people following God. Jesus is the one that we need to follow. That the truth and the life is found in him, and that's where we need to go. In John 20, verses 30 and 31, kind of the theme of the book of John, listen to what John says. And truly Jesus did many other signs that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. We've got to, if we're going to have life, we've got to have it because of the name of Jesus Christ, because of his blood, really, what he sacrificed there. We've got to have that. That's got to be a part of us. Now, again, I mentioned Moses' law. I mentioned the patriarchal law. Are those laws, do we just cast those aside and we don't even think about those again? We don't read them. We don't study them. Let me tell you something. If you don't read the patriarchal law and if you don't read the Mosaic law, you're not going to fully understand Christ's law. You've got to have those three together. And it helps us to do that. It really brings a greater picture of it. Someone has said that the Old Testament is kind of like a large painting of God's will for man. And the New Testament is coming into one section of it so that we can see it in a clearer way. And that's what we're doing. Those things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. There's a purpose in those old law, in that old law, and we don't need to do away with it. We need to concern ourselves with the New Testament, what it has to say, and follow that. But we need also to read and study and find out what the Old Testament law has to say. We got to recognize what the New Testament says about the Old Testament. In Colossians 2 and verse 14, it said that the old law was taken and it was nailed to the cross. Here it's finished, and here is the end of the old law in that the dictates that were there, and then you have the cross. And under the cross of Christ, we fully comprehend what's going on. I don't think we really realize how wonderful it is to be where we are. We can look back at the old law. We can look back at the patriarchal law, and we can see there how God dealt with those people in a very specific way. And then we can come over to the New Testament, same God, dealing with His people in the same way. In the same way. You know, the eternal principle for God, if you obey God, you will be saved. That's eternal. That was true through the patriarchal, through the Mosaical, through the Christian age. And if there was another one coming, which there's not, it'd be true through that too. We've got to be willing to follow that. That old law was nailed to the cross. He abolished this old law because it was a part of the flesh. Listen to Ephesians 2 and verse 15. Ephesians 2 and verse 15. Having abolished in His flesh, because of His flesh, because of the blood that He shed there on the cross, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances so as to create in Himself a new man from the two, thus making peace. It's kind of like this. You got two men here. One is under the old law, one is under the new. The one under the old law is trying to obey it, but he can't. And so here, Jesus Christ comes and He sacrifices His life on the cross. We have the blood there. And so here we have the idea that Paul was talking about here. Here we have this thing where we are those people that are given this new life. We have this new way to go. Those two now become one. We're not, you know, the Bible talks about how that we were enemies fighting against God. We were struggling against God. What did the New Testament do? What did the blood of Christ do? It made an appeasement. It made a right relationship with God. And then we could approach the throne of God. The Jews were afraid to even look at God. If God came down in some form, that first thing they did is they got on the ground and they tried to take their forehead and touch their knees. They didn't want to see God. They said, if you see God, you're going to die. Why? Because of how sinful we are and how glorious He is. Now, we can approach God heads up, standing up, and stand before His throne. Why are we able to do that? Why couldn't those people do that? Their sins were still there. Now, understand what I'm trying to say. They were forgiven as far as God was concerned. But their sins were really forgiven when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross. Until then, their sins were kind of there. They talk about them being rolled forward. However you want to put that. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, His blood went all the way back to Genesis. And the sins were forgiven for the people that obeyed God under the law that they were under. We don't sacrifice bulls and goats. They did. But let me tell you something. That sacrifice of those bulls and goats caused their sins to be forgiven because of what Jesus Christ did. How great it is to understand the sacrifice that Jesus did and what happened to Him as far as the cross is concerned when we understand those Old Testament sacrifices and what they did there, how that they accomplished that. The old law was a temporary law until Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 23, But before faith came, before this system of faith came, now you say, well, the people in the Old Testament had to have faith. Yes, they did, but they had to have faith in that law. They had to follow that law. Now, if you follow the law, according to God, you could be forgiven. Did you have to have faith? Not necessarily. You had to follow the law. But faith came. And so here when faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. You see, we were under this old law. The people at that time were under this old law. They were guarded. They were protected there. Kept from faith, which would afterward be revealed. They didn't have all the truth. There was another chapter that was going to start. And they didn't see that. It's kind of like reading a book. You read a book and you get to the last chapter. And then all of it summed up as to what it is. And you see, oh, okay, I understand why he did this, why this was done, why that was done. Because of the plot that was there. And you comprehend that. That's what he's talking about. Therefore, the law was our tutor. It was the one to guide us and to get us into the right way, to bring us to Christ. It was the law that was training us while we were young, while we were in kindergarten, while we were in the first grade, second grade, third grade, all the way through the 12th grade. And then that tutor has trained us to be able to go on into college because now we have that basic knowledge. That's what the law did. It helped to train people. And it's still doing that today. Helping us to be a tutor, and helping us to be those students and understand God's will in our life. So here is this tutor that's there to bring us to Christ, that, the purpose, we might be justified by faith. We might be just as though we had never, ever sinned because of the faith we have in God. We're not saved by our works. The Bible teaches that. Too many people believe we're saved by our works. I mean, if you believe you're saved by your works, you are a person that you feel condemned all the time. Now think about that. Because you do something wrong, how do you feel? You don't do something that you know you need to do, how do you feel? Oh, I'm lost. Oh no, now I'm saved. Oh no, now I'm lost. You don't know where you're coming or going. Under the law of Christ, we have faith in God that when I sin, I'm going to be forgiven of that. I'll repent of that. I'll turn from that. God will forgive me. That we might be justified by faith. That's how we're justified, because of what Jesus Christ. But afterward, faith has come. We are no longer under the tutor. We're no longer under the old law. All right, now what do we do? Just throw that old law out? No. How do we understand the law of Christ? How do we comprehend what God wants us to do? How do we comprehend this idea of being under Christ? And I mentioned a while ago, you read the book of Hebrews, and basically that's one of the great themes of the whole book, is there is a difference in the law, but especially chapters 8 and 9. Read those laws, read that there, and you'll see where it specifically shows that there's a difference in the old law and the new law and which law we're under today, helping us to understand that. We can't be under two laws at one time. You just can't do that. Now, if you travel and you go into a foreign country, and in that foreign country, say you're going down the road and you're in Germany and you're on an Autobahn and you're doing 40 miles an hour, you know what they're going to do? They're going to stop you. You say, yep, but on roads like this in Alabama, we only go 40 miles an hour. He said, you're not in Alabama. Did you know that? And people are going 100 and 120 miles an hour, and you better get out of the way. Or there's going to be a really bad wreck, and you're going to get personal knowledge about that. So don't do that. You can't be under two laws. You can't be under the law of Germany or Russia or any other country and the law of mankind in America. It doesn't work that way. If you're in that country, you're under that law. We're under the law of Christ, and we've got to understand that. Now, point number three here, and I think Ken's got that up for you already. Does that mean that the Old Testament law cannot be cited? Does it mean that when a preacher preaches, he doesn't need to say anything about the Old Testament? He doesn't need to quote from it? He doesn't need to call us to look at it? That it really has no value? Let me tell you something. It has value for us today. A great value. And we need to understand that. You see, this old law is it helps us to understand some things. It just basically, they're prophecies that are made in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament. And if you just read about the fulfillment of the prophecy, you're not going to know how long ago that prophecy was made. It's not going to build your faith up. But if you look back at the Old Testament and you see there that prophecy that was made, and then maybe hundreds of years, and it's fulfilled exactly like it was. Now just think about it. All the prophecies about Jesus Christ, every one of them, if you didn't know those things, it would not build your faith up as much as it does to know that all these things have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It builds our faith up and it makes us stronger. What we've got to do is to realize, as Paul did, how important the old law was and how important the new law is. Romans 15 and verse 4, earlier statements of the old law are for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We see how God treated those people at that time, and we understand how God's going to treat us today. And we have hope because of that. That's what the Roman writer was trying to say here, that we are able to do that because of what God has done for us. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, listen to what Paul said. He uses the example of the Old Testament to help us to understand some of the things about sin and about righteousness and about peace with God. Now all these things happened, talking about what had happened in the Old Testament, they had happened to them as examples. Examples to them or examples to us? Maybe to them, but especially to us. How does God feel about sin? Well, let's go over and see when the children of Israel are waiting on the law to come down from Moses from the mountain, and he's going to bring the Ten Commandments, and he gets down there, and they've got a golden calf that they're worshiping down there. How does God feel about worship that is incorrect? How does he feel about people worshiping idols and other things? Well, that serves as a good example. Don't do that. Don't do that. And it helps us in a greater way to see that. There's no question about it at all. These things were written for our learning, unto whom the end of the age has come. It's going to be a lesson that's going to teach everybody all the time. People are going to know that. They're going to understand that. They're going to recognize that. What's the value of that? It shows us how God looks at sin. It shows us how God looks at righteousness. How God looks and gives us hope. It helps us to comprehend that in a greater way. And I mentioned a while ago, there are eternal principles that are found, that are true throughout the patriarchal, the Mosaical, and the Christian age. The patriarchal, Mosaical, and Christian age, God says, listen, if you are willing to listen to what I have to say and follow what I have to say, you will be saved. That's true through every dispensation. And always will be. And always will be. Now, under the patriarchal age, it was a little different how they carried that out. See, that's when the difference comes in. Under the Mosaical age, it was different. Under the Christian age, it's different. But we're living in our time where we are under the Christian age. And that's what Paul was trying to do in this and helping people to understand this. He wanted them to understand it and us too. The Old Testament was there for our learning, that we might learn some things. And we are different people in a different time. We have a different law than the people of the past did. And that law is for us today. Some New Testament events we would not really comprehend totally if we didn't have the Old Testament. I mean, we might learn it, but it's going to be hard to do, whereas we can look at the Old Testament and see all those things as being true. In the New Testament, we see the law of Christ. We see that law as it's brought there. We see the Old Testament as it cites and it substantiates and it bolsters and it builds up and it gives us an encouragement in the New Testament to be able to do those things that God wants us to do. The true thing is we've got to follow the New Testament, but thank God we have the Old Testament to be able to look at and search and read. We must handle the Word of God in the correct way. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, that's what it's saying there. This Word that you're dealing with God's Word to you. And that's I don't know if we really comprehend that. Could you imagine hearing God speaking from the mountain His law? Could you imagine God speaking, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased"? Could you say, I didn't hear that"? Or, "I don't want to hear that"? Or could you be the person that says, "You know, that's from God"? That's the reason Paul's saying here, this is God-breathed word. You need to be careful with it. You need to handle it in the right way. You need to deal with it in the right way. You've got to do that because that's what we're supposed to do. Why? Because we're going to be judged from that law, John 12 and verse 48. We're going to be judged from the law of Christ. And so we need to be following that. Do we obey the law? Do we obey the law of Christ? Is that the law that we're under today? Or are we going to just go to any book of the Bible, whatever dispensation that is, whether it's in the New Testament or the Old Testament, and we're going to follow those things? If you do, your religion is going to be so confusing to you. And probably what's going to happen is you'll give it up over a period of time. You've got to, because you don't know which way to go. The New Testament says this is the way. Jesus said, "I am the way." We follow Him. We follow what He wants. And we've got to do that even today. We've got to follow Him. He says for us today, for us to be saved, we've got to hear His gospel, His word. We've got to believe it so much that we're going to do something about it, that we're going to be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're going to be willing to be immersed in water as a symbol to show us that we're cleansed by God. And we've got to do that. You say, "Well, we can be saved without that." No, we can't. That's what He said do. And if we don't do that, we're missing it. That's a requirement for us. That's in the New Testament. It's just like in the Old Testament, a fellow could say, "You know, I really don't want to sacrifice my lamb. I really, that's a good lamb. I don't want to do that. It's the best lamb I've got. And God knows I really love Him." But we got to show it. And we show it as God tells us. Wherever you are, God wants you to show your love for Him. That's that we confess sins. That's that we're willing to believe in Him. That's that we're willing to trust Him so much that we're willing to give up our will for His will. We're willing to do that. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we want to plead with you to become a child of God. Why? Because that's just what you always say and you always do. No, because it's the truth. And we got to follow it. If there's sin in your life as a Christian, please don't think you can just ignore that. Sin is a little seed, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. The illustration is given of a fungus, and that fungus just kind of grows and grows. That leaven that's in the bread, it just keeps growing and growing and growing, and it'll take over our life. You mean those little things are that important? Yes, they are. Because they lead us to bigger things. Please come to Christ right now as we stand and as we sing.